Our scripture lesson this morning is from Luke's Gospel at the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed his pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." I looked the word prodigal up in the dictionary just to make sure I was using it in the right way, and it's got multiple meanings. And they're not always negative. The first meaning was recklessly extravagant. The next one was characterized by wastefulness. Third was yielding abundantly. And then there was prodigal as a noun, and it said one who spends or gives lavishly and foolishly. We have a story here of a man with two sons. The younger son is the one that we usually terms the prodigal because he was wasteful. He goes to his father and more or less says to him, "Dad, I know you're not dead yet, but can I have my share of the inheritance now?" And his father gave it to him. He would have been entitled to one-third of the property and his older son, two-thirds. And after he gets the money, this young man goes off and is wasteful. And he spends it all. Now, he may have been a very generous young man. He shared with his friends. They had parties. They really enjoyed themselves. They probably drank a lot of wine and ate a lot of food and just plain out and out enjoyed themselves. The focus of this young man was inward. He was focusing on himself. He was focusing on his own desires. And he was so focused on those desires that he became lost. And the more he enjoyed himself and wasted money and spent it and had a great time, the more lost he became. He finally ends up at the bottom. Not only has he lost all his money, but there's been a famine, and now he's off feeding the pigs. And he himself is starving. So we all know how the story goes. He makes up his mind to return home. And we have the elder son in the story. The elder son who is good, who is obedient, who is loyal, who follows all the rules and does everything that he should do. The elder son who is consumed by jealousy of his younger brother and anger and resentment. He also is a prodigal because he's recklessly extravagant in the dislike of his brother. He's unwilling to forgive. He's unwilling to see the father's point of view that this young man had been lost and was now found. He was feeling like a victim of oppression, because he talks about, he says to his father, "I worked like a slave for you and I got nothing. Not even a goat." This elder son, in his anger and his jealousy and his hurt feelings and his resentment, is very much in danger of becoming lost like the older son. And then we have the third character in this parable, and that's the father. And the father is undoubtedly the most prodigal of all of them. He is lavish. He is extravagant. He is the one that gives to his sons, the one who returns as well as the one who stayed, and according to his neighbors, the most foolish one of all, because he went outside of societal norms in order to be lavish and extravagant and giving to his sons. Both of his sons disrespect him. The younger one who says, "Dad, give me my money now." But you know what? The older son didn't say, "No, no, you keep my portion for now," as far as we know. For all we know, he took it. The father accepted this disrespect on the part of his sons. He doesn't criticize them for the way they ever talked to him. I never really realized that the father had to sell his land in order to give the younger son his share of the inheritance, as well as the older son. That's not something you do at all, ever. This land was a gift from God, given to their ancestors thousands of years ago. You just simply don't sell God's gifts. And yet he did. When he finally sees the younger son returning, and I'm sure he looked for him every day, he ran to meet him. This patriarch, someone who's never supposed to run, runs down the road to meet his younger son. And he embraces him, and he clothes him as though he were royalty. And he throws a lavish party for him. He's very disrespectful, the father. He leaves his guests in the middle of a party to go out and plead with his older son to come in and join the party, to join in the celebration. He accepts his son's critique. He accepts his son's anger and his resentment. And then simply says to him, "Everything I have is yours. You're always with me. You always will be." He made himself this father, this prodigal, really made himself a laughingstock amongst all his neighbors. Because he humiliated himself. He accepted the disrespect of his sons. He sold his land. He gave them everything that he wanted. He actually was caught running down the road. He gave a party. He broke traditions left and right. And traditions are so important to the society. He lost honor in the eyes of his peers. Why? Because he was filled with love and mercy and compassion for his children. Sounds like God to me, doesn't it? And that's the point of Jesus' parable. Jesus is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, who are grumbling because Jesus hangs out with sinners and with tax collectors, you know, with those lost people. People who are like that younger son. And these people who are coming to Jesus have reached rock bottom and they want to return home. And Jesus welcomes them and rejoices with them. The scribes and the Pharisees are in danger of becoming lost like the elder son. Not all of them necessarily, but certainly the ones who were grumbling about Jesus spending time with them, eating with them. They were feeling smug and thought they were better than these lost, these sinners and these tax collectors. Maybe they thought Jesus should give them all the attention or should spend all his time with them instead of with those who were lost. And then we have the Father. We have God in the story. The parent who gives everything, everything for God's children. No price is too high. Loss of honor, loss of humiliation, doesn't matter. Loss of life, doesn't matter. Wants his older son to rejoice with him when the youngest is found, when the youngest returns. One of the points of parables is that we find ourselves in them. And sometimes we find ourselves to be the younger son. We get lost in our own desires, whatever they might be, whether it's wealth or possessions, drugs or alcohol, work. It doesn't matter. The list is endless. And sometimes we lose ourselves so thoroughly in those things that we want that we reach rock bottom. And finally come to ourselves. Sometimes we're like that older brother. And maybe we're like that older brother more than we're like the younger one. We're resentful. We're resentful of that younger brother. We're resentful of those who don't do things the right way, who believe a little differently than we do, who don't act like we do, who don't follow the rules and the traditions. We're resentful of those people that we perceive to get special treatment from God. We forget, the elder brother forgot, that God has enough love for all, and God's love for another does not in any way, shape, or form diminish God's love for us. I'm willing to bet, though, we don't usually identify with the father in this parable, the one who forgives everything, who treats everyone with mercy and compassion, the one who rejoices when the lost return and plead with the older brother to come and celebrate every time someone who is lost has come back. Amen.